Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church on this Sunday morning in June. And welcome to this, our sacred space. Our sacred space where our community of Kensington Unitarians meets each week, welcoming all who step through our doors. Richard Gilbert writes, "We bid you welcome. We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome, who are seekers of a faith, who come to probe and explore, who come to learn. We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this place and this community people who touch your heart. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are on your journey, we bid you welcome." So let's take a moment to get a sense of what it might mean for each of us to be welcomed. Welcomed for who we are, just as we are. No need to pretend, no need to put on appearances. Able for this time at least to be just ourselves. Making this time, this next hour that we spend together, time for our own thoughts. Opening ourselves to new insights perhaps. And let's take this moment to get a sense of what it is we most might need this morning. And our chalice is lit. This symbol of a worldwide liberal, religious, Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community. It's lit that the light of truth and reason and justice and love might burn brightly within us and throughout our world. And one of today's themes in our service is the solstice, the summer solstice, and which is going to be happening next Saturday. And so I invite you now to join me in a time of prayer and reflection. And this is a prayer particularly created for solstice time. Spirit of love and life, we are here almost at the balance of the year, at a moment when the sun and the earth hold one another and pause. There is time enough, there is abundant daylight. And may we give ourselves all the time we need to rest, yet also let us not squander this precious time. Let us not lose the light and what it offers. Pausing, may we know and seek ever to live in the light of what is most true for us. Knowing the hidden lines of connection that weave between us and all other humans. The hidden lines of connection that weave our lives into the life of this very earth. Pausing, may we know and ever seek to live in the light of what is deepest in our hearts. And for all of us, the ways we have failed, the oh so many losses, the tender hopes held gently, all this along with love that shines even at the height of day. In this quiet spirit of life and love, allow us to open ourselves to this moment at the balance of the year, to love, ever present to us, to the web of life that holds us and which we help to weave, And in a shared moment of stillness now, let us each focus our own thoughts and prayers, holding those who we sense to be in need and the needs of our own hearts in the cupped hands of our love and care. Travellers, as we all are on this shared journey of life, may we be guided towards paths of kindness and justice for all beings, now and always. Amen. So this little piece of the service is called Preparing for the Solstice. In a few weeks' time, our service theme is going to be our favourite things. And so do let me know if you would like to choose something for that service, a favourite song or hymn perhaps, a poem or another reading maybe. Somewhere on my list of favourite things would have to be speed. Ever so often, I like to go very, very fast. Unlike Caroline, I really like aeroplane takeoffs. I like certain fairground rides, and I like going fast in cars. I try hard not to drive too fast on British roads, but I can still remember the first time I drove at 100 miles an hour. Are there many in the room who've had this kind of experience? Oh yes, one or two. There are places where it's allowed, but it wasn't allowed when I tried it. And you'll be glad to hear, I wasn't at the wheel, because I think I can only have been about 7 or 8 years old at the time. And my dad was driving, and we were on the northern stretch of the newly opened M1 motorway. There weren't many other cars around in those days, and it was a lot of fun. The roads are so crowded nowadays that I have to get my thrills in other ways. And one of the acceptable ways that I do this, it amuses me no end. It does involve speed, and it does involve your imagination. So you can try it now if you like. You can close your eyes if you want to. Have your feet firmly planted and imagine that you are on this planet Earth. It's just one floor down and you'd be on the Earth herself. And then I want you to imagine our whole planet Earth hurtling round the sun, travelling by one method of calculation at least at 1,040 miles per hour. You can't do that on the M1, I'll tell you. Just imagine we are going that fast. We're all going that fast together. We could all go, whee! And this week, you can stop doing that now unless you really like it. This week, our planet is moving towards a key point in its calendar. Next Saturday at 10:51 a.m, it'll be our summer solstice, when the northern hemisphere of the Earth is tilted most closely towards the sun. Hence, Saturday will be the longest day here in the northern lands, where we'll receive the most light and it'll be the least dark. The word solstice derives from two Latin words of sol for sun and sistere, meaning to stand still. And this name derives from the illusion that for a few days around the time of the solstice, the position of the sun at its highest point in the sky does appear to stay still. Don't look at it without those proper glasses on, that's dangerous too. In more ancient times, people's powers of observation of around the world around them would have been far more acute than most of us today, cocooned as we so oft times are in front of our computer screens or smartphones or TVs, and so often indoors, even at this time of year. But most of us get out in parks or gardens, some of us go camping and walking out of town, and we do still notice the weather, the changes of the trees and the flowers. And so my suggestion for this week is that we each choose some simple ways to prepare for the coming solstice, and that we mark it in some way. I've written a few ideas on the back of today's yellow hymn sheet, and most of these come down to the simple reminder to pay attention. So very simple, and yet I don't know about you, but I can go for days on end and notice very little about the world outside. And let's, if we can, derive some pleasure from being alive on a planet that spins in space. Because it is a miracle to be alive. And the only reason we can be alive is because of our sun and the warmth and the light that we gain from it. It's not surprising, is it, that ancient people worshipped the sun and felt anxious when she seemed to disappear. So just a few highlights here. Let's be aware, more aware than usual, of the rising and the setting of the sun, how very light it is in the morning at the moment, and how the sun seems to move in the sky. Did you see the full moon on Friday night? And now it's waning, and it always wanes more quickly than I expect it to. Might we see the moon in the sky during the day this week? And you might like to find some herbs to harvest and dry and to use in cooking, or find a particularly luscious fruit and eat it, allowing any juices to drip down and make you all sticky and messy. And honour the sun in a way that feels appropriate for you. And I'm going to invite you on the other side, on that, at the bottom of that sheet, there is a version of a prayer that originally would have been in Sanskrit. It's been liberally translated. And it's a prayer directed towards the sun, but not so much the physical sun, but the divine sun, the source of all that is. Let me go through it once with you, and if you don't mind looking foolish, since you've already imagined yourselves hurtling through space, there are some really simple arm movements that go with this. So I'll do it once to demonstrate, and then if you want to join in, then do feel free. So you, referring to that sun, divine sun and real sun, you who are the source of all power, whose rays illuminate the whole world, illuminate also my heart, that it too may do your will. Let's try that together three times if you wish. You who are the source of all power, whose rays illuminate the whole world, illuminate also my heart so that it too may do your will. You who are the source of all power, whose rays illuminate the whole world, illuminate also my heart so that it too may do your will. And once more, you who are the source of all power, whose rays illuminate the whole world, illuminate also my heart so that it too may do your will.
I wasn't here last week because I was in Prague celebrating the flower communion there with the congregation. I've been going there since I was in my 20s. Originally, I was seeking out Unitarian youth behind the Iron Curtain, and some of those youth are still my friends, although they're now well into their years of having their pensions. Sarah asked me to tell you something about the origins of the Flower Communion. The Czech Unitarian movement was founded in Prague at the beginning of the 1920s, when there was a surge of enthusiasm for more liberal religion than had been practiced during the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The first minister, Norbert Fabian Čapek, had returned from a period in the United States, and he was encouraged by Charlotte Masaryk, the American wife of the president of the New Republic of Czechoslovakia, who was herself a Unitarian. With help from British and American Unitarians, the Czech Unitarians purchased a building in the centre of Prague on Karlova Street, very near to the famous Charles Bridge. I've got a picture of it here, but it's quite small, so you can look at it after. The congregation grew, and in 1923, Chapek decided that he would like to devise a simple communion service to celebrate the diversity of people as well as what they had in common. He decided that his celebration of communion should not be a cheap imitation of the traditional Christian ritual. It had to be something distinctive, which didn't show discontent or displeasure with any particular ideology, but rather would offer common ground for all people of goodwill. The main aim had to be to celebrate the variety of human identity and the unifying presence of the principles by which we live. Chapek said that as his symbol of communion, he had chosen the most tender, most accessible, and most beautiful gift of nature, flowers. And he commented that a flower is godly. However hard we tried, we could never make one. It would appear faded, without scent, without life. The flower communion became a very special occasion in the Czech Unitarian year, and it remains so today. It's usually celebrated on the Sunday nearest to the anniversary of Čapek's birth. His birthday was actually on the 3rd of June. And in Prague, they introduce the flowers like this. Each one of us is symbolised in the flowers. The flowers together in a bouquet symbolise our togetherness as a congregation. The manner in which we each chose and brought the flowers symbolises our individual freedoms. When you leave this service, quietly, without hurrying, each one of you is invited to take a flower from the bouquet, which we all made together. But this should be done without conscious choice, as a symbol that you do not choose who you wish to accept as one of our church family. But for now, our vase of flowers serves as a reminder that together we will make every effort to create an atmosphere here which is favourable for spiritual growth. Each year the Flower Communion is celebrated by more and more Unitarian congregations around the globe. And this simple ceremony is a fitting memorial to a man who was true to himself and to others.
Here's the symbol of the Czech Unitarian community with their flower, and here's a picture of Norbert Čapek and an amazing life he lived, and one worth finding out more about.
And Čapek chose the sunflowers because he said as they respond to the sun, so the human soul responds to God.
Oh, lovely. And so here's a translation of Čapek's words that he used to consecrate the flowers. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask your blessing on these flowers, your messengers of fellowship and love. May these flowers remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts, remind us to be one in desire and affection and devotion to your holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of your most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realise that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do your work in this world. And so may the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and the most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we can give ourselves then to the work of the world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move. Blessings upon each of us this day and evermore. Amen. Go well and blessed be.